This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. There are a couple holiday news stories that you sort of always hear. Air travel nightmares, fried turkeys that take the house with them, department store Mortal Kombat so that a kid can have that one hot, must-be-gotten toy. For almost 20 years, one of those toys has been a fuzzy, squeaky, red puppet.
Oh, hi! Elmo's so happy to see you!
That's Elmo. Roberto Ferdman is a reporter for Quartz, and he's written what appears to be a definitive history of Elmos. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
The first blockbuster Christmas Elmo was Tickle Me Elmo in 1996, and it's really a story of supply and demand. What happened?
So Tyco, which was making the toys for Sesame Workshop, launched this toy, and it wasn't on any sort of top toy lists or anything like that. But then demand for it just went through the roof. They were off the shelves. They didn't make enough of them. Toy stores didn't put enough of them inside of the stores. And, you know, you can really see how successful it was because the following year, when toy stores put them in the stores, they sold 7 times the amount that they had sold the first year that it was launched. So it's not a bad thing that they undersupplied the market. You know, people really want it. They can't get it. It makes them want it more.
So what did that do to the toy industry and, I guess, the Elmo industry?
It really started what's been, you know, 18 consecutive years almost of massive Elmo toy sales, especially around the holidays. And the reason that's the case is because toy stores historically now especially tend to be pretty risk averse. They don't want to stock up on toys that they won't be able to get off of their shelves. You know, excess supply is a terrible thing for toy stores. They don't make a lot of money off of these as it is, especially around the holidays when they discount them. So that first year when Elmo was really popular, it allowed toy stores to then stock up on the Elmos going forward, and they've flown off the shelves.
And different companies have owned the licensing rights to Elmo, but they all still seem to cling to this magic that is kids' fascination with this red, fuzzy thing.
So it's funny. I spoke to a few people, and I remember one analyst in particular. And he said that if anybody says that they know why Elmo's really popular, they're probably making it up. And it's really hard to pin down what exactly is so fantastic about Elmo in the eyes of preschoolers, effectively, which are, you know, the target demographic for Elmo. And it's actually been a frustration for both Sesame Workshop, or Sesame Street, really, and the toy companies that have made these toys, because Elmo's the only Sesame Street character really that's created its own brand. They've tried to do it with Cookie Monster, but Cookie Monster has not been as successful. Big Bird hasn't. You know, Elmo's really something separate from Sesame Street.
Elmo always ends up on these hot toy lists, right? Who makes these lists?
These lists are often made by stores or sponsored by stores. So this year, Toys R Us has their own list. Target has their own list. And Elmo's on both of these lists, probably because both Toys R Us and Target have a lot of Elmos on their shelves.
So this year's Elmo is?
It's called Big Hugs Elmo. Very friendly, likes to give hugs. But Big Hugs Elmo is also kind of a conglomeration of all the Elmos before it. It's able to sing, it's able to talk, it hugs children. So it does a lot of things that previous Elmos have done, but all together in one package. So one of the things that I heard from the people I spoke with from the toy industry was that in many ways this is the most interactive and maybe the first like truly interactive Elmo.
This is the Elmo, the Uber Elmo.
This is the Elmo. This is the Uber Elmo. It may very well be.
Roberto Ferdman from Quartz, thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you for having me.